go out to LA. Coming from the city where no pity is shell. Somebody need to do a song for LA.
Hello, my name is Elaine, and I'll be your tour guide through South Central Los Angeles.
Look, count my dough and smoke up. I'm from California. Where you from? So what? I'm from California. California. California.
This is Los Angeles.
Well, where are we going?
Westward, ho.
Hey, what's up, Baylor, man? How you doing, man? It's King Term, man. You know, and I'm listening to the episode you and Britt of that. Mm-hmm. And I need to know, how many college basketball teams do you know? Because it seems to me that you always seem to throw smut on the name of one particular team. I don't know why I do this. Maybe it's just a coincidence because you know their household name. But anytime you want to talk about somebody getting upset or whatever, is that you always throw smut on Duke. And I need to know what's going on, Baylor.
I mean, it ain't no. It's not like it's a surprise or anything like that. Everybody know I don't care for Duke. I don't like Duke. I don't like Duke. I do not like Duke. I don't like Duke. Like just like I don't like Alabama, Florida basketball team. I don't like them niggas either. It's certain teams that we just don't. Sacramento Kings, Utah Jazz, Phoenix Suns, Boston. You see what I'm saying? Like, you see the Denver Broncos, Kansas City, huh? San Diego's, the Chargers, that is. Yes, I do know they're in L.A., but they're not. We don't care about them. I hate them all. And Duke is up there, just like Gonzaga. I love Gonzaga colors. I like Fresno State colors. Gonzaga colors. I like they mascot and stuff, but I hate them niggas. I hate them. Duke is up there. Duke is probably like top three. It might be Boston, Duke. Oh, let's not forget about the Patriots. We can keep this thing going, King Jeremy. It just ain't all about Duke. It's just Duke is the most upsetting one in a while. You know what I mean? It's because of it's a household name. It wouldn't be no other reason. Wouldn't be no other reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's simple. Anyway, the reason why we're here today is because my precious friend by the name of Shan. Her name is Shan. Shan should have had a rap song in the 80s. Yep, bamboo earrings, the whole nine. You know what I'm saying? The cross-color whole scheme, the pro-black. Queen Latifah, Shan should have had her own song. That's what I'm saying. But nonetheless, without her having her own song, she's still going to create some content. She created some content for this motherfucking show today. Everybody start clapping. Everybody start clapping about that. It's only two dogs down here with me. Small audience today, but we are here. And let's see what she got going. Let's see what she got going.
All right. Six questions from Shan. My first question is,
pop that shit.
What's a sandwich combination that doesn't get the proper respect it deserves on menus at restaurants? Like, there is more to life than just a turkey sandwich or a ham sandwich or a roast beef sandwich. Like, what sandwich do people hook up in their homes that people have graduated to? That restaurants do not even make space for on the menu that should be there, but it's never listed. What the fuck is that sandwich?
You know what I think it is? This is a item that's not on the list a lot. I can't say that it's not on the list entirely because that's a lot. I've recently seen it at it's like a little food spot over here, near my crib, like. Less than 4 or 5 minutes away driving. They had the crispy grilled peanut butter and jelly with the powdered sugar on it or whatever. Calorasi is, yeah. I'm going to say in general, though, what I don't see a lot, you might see them on a couple of kids' menus, depending on where you go. But they need this on an adult menu, and they do give a certain treatment to grilled cheese. I'm starting to see grilled cheese like everywhere now. You know what I'm saying? So they getting that's getting the proper respect. But what's not getting the proper respect, what we don't see a lot on the adult side of the menu, is another a motherfucking peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich is going in a hall of fame of food, period. Snacks, meals, it covers everything, King Jern. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We got the classic grape. You got the strawberry, personal favorite, which I think a lot of people love, strawberry. Grape is still there, though. The apricot, for all you, you know what I'm saying, different type of niggas. I'm different sometimes. I've had that one. Raspberry, I love raspberry. I love a lot of raspberry shit outside of the actual jelly. I like it, but it's not my favorite. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I haven't found the right one. I should say that. But they got all kinds of jams and jelly and all the good shit. The berry one that you get at restaurants, that one is fire. I think they got like a mandarin one that I've had. So yeah, a nice little, you know, I ain't gonna say a nice little, give me an adult version peanut butter and jelly sandwich, my nigga. That should be on the menu. Just like when a couple of years ago, it was either before or a little, or I think it was before the pandemic, where I first got one of the cereal bar. Like, you can go in there and they got so many different flavors of cereal. Going to get you a bowl of cereal, that is hard. You know, like a lot of snacks that we had back in the day, a lot of basic snacks it hasn't aged at all. It's a lifesaver too. You know that? Because that peanut butter and jelly can go a long way. We're not talking about like some meat and cheese or some veggies on your shit that could, you know, potentially spoil our taste, nasty, soggy up the bread, you know, with tomatoes on it. Nah, you know, that peanut butter and jelly gonna hold you. And that shit, that peanut butter gonna stick to you. Gonna give you some fuel. You know what I mean? So I gotta go with that. I gotta go with the peanut butter and jelly. We need more peanut butter and jellies on the menu. Please, people. Please, people. Come on, Shan. Come on.
My next question. What are the three things that tell a man that a woman is worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Worth speaking to, worth getting to know, and he can recognize these things from a distance and rank them from number one being most important to number three. It's a good thing, but it ain't first, okay? You have a smile, you have aura, and you have body curiosity. And I say body curiosity because women do not understand the gem that it is to not be naked outside, but to also be very attractive sexually with clothes on, because of just how they wear it, how it falls on their body. And they don't, the new ones,
yeah, asses out.
They don't know what excitement it is to leave a little curiosity mm-hmm. for a man's mind. But rank those, talk about it. Yeah, that's number two.
Yeah, because she could throw on like a sophisticated work outfit. But the way she put that shit together, you know what I mean? Like the way you put that shit on. But I'm going to tell you my number one. We starting from the top of the list. From the very top of the list, you got to have a sense of humor. The moment he sees that you have a sense of humor, because having a sense of humor can battle a lot of shit that women deal with. You know, they can deal with insecurities, anxiety, panic attacks, shit like that. They can deal with a lot of negative stuff. I feel like that's the antidote. When you have a sense of humor, when you can laugh at some shit, you know what I mean? Either go ahead and throw some dark humor in there. Everybody got a little dark humor space hidden inside them. You know what I'm saying? You got a department, a small department of dark humor, and it's there. It don't have to be a lot. Some of y'all niggas who prefer dark humor over anything need to be checked and kept at a distance. But Chan, if you got a sense of humor, that's a sense of humor. Just like they say, if you have an above average body part or parts, you know what I'm talking about, chest, ass, thighs, hips, you know what I mean? Like when you got those attractive features, that's going to automatically enhance the interest for your followers. You know what I mean? Same thing with a sense of humor. A sense of humor puts you in a whole totally different stratosphere of women, of humans, you know? And then if y'all build a sense of humor together, oh my God, nigga, that's that. To me, you build a sense of humor together with that other person, to me, you automatically put yourself in a different space, like as a couple. You know what I mean? That's a bond that a lot of niggas don't have. Sometimes you just get into a relationship. You can see other relationships where that person just, you know, that person just understands that person and that person understands the other person. But when the niggas understand each other, when they understand each other, when it's when it, y'all like a teammate, when y'all like Dwayne Wade and Bron on Miami, when y'all the Heatles, when everything is working like the old four Detroit Pistons, when everything defensive, like y'all, nigga, top defense, we defensive minded. You know what I'm saying? Mokas, nobody's over there, bro. Nobody. That was me. I did that. Yeah, when you got that type of chemistry, and that's the word I'm looking for, chemistry. When you build that, I think it starts with a sense of humor. I truly believe the sense of humor can take you a long way. That makes that date much better. That makes that relationship fire. That makes that marriage unbreakable. Because y'all get each other. Me and my wife laughed at a funeral. You heard that on a song before, but that was so true. We sat right next to each other, emotional. And then when we seen an opportunity to grab us a laugh or two, you think we didn't? Niggas, we was clowning. We was getting clips off on people at the funeral, during and after. That's what we did. That's what we did. So yeah, it's all about a sense of humor. That's my number one thing. The number two thing, we like girly girls. We like girly girls, and what I mean by that is the ones who keep their nails up. Like it's like a girly thing. If you have, or if you're dating somebody, or if you're in a relationship with a woman, or if you're married to a woman, and y'all have a daughter, and that daughter mimics the mother, that's what I'm talking about in a positive way. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about the ones who, when they see their mom get up in the morning to get ready for work, and they're doing their hair and putting on their makeup and the way they hold their Stanley cups and shit like that and bags and their purses and stuff like that. Like, that's a girly girl to me. You know, the one that my nail appointment is this week. My nail appointment is this time, this day, every week. And this is where I get my hair done and just girly girl stuff. Soft era girl, right? So we like that. We like when a woman is just a natural, just beauty, just then shit that we might not understand because we manly, you know what I'm saying? We a man's man, but it offsets like when she's just a girly girl, you know, like that she can calm down that Incredible Hulk, you know, that she got those natural powers in her body. Like, that's, she just got that. Just girly girl. You know, when the way she go to bed, the way she pampers herself, or, you know what I mean? To all the way down to the type of shit that she like. Now, again, you get additional points for, being outside the usual, which is you might find a girl that play video games just as much as you, or watch horror movies just as much as you, or play sports, you know, physical sports just as much as you. That's an added bonus, you know what I'm saying? But even the bare minimum of a girly girl is widely accepted, okay? And then the last one is accepting growth. Once we could sense it. Like, we could see, we're watching your journey. And the only way you could see this is if y'all are in a relationship, and you could do your evaluation as many times as you want to a year. You could do it every week. You can do it every month. You can do it every 6 months. You know what I'm saying? You just mentally check back in, and you scoping around, you seeing how she's been changing. And we're attracted to that because it's like we see you, because if you're on your personal journey, your growth journey, and you see her in it as well, it's a beautiful thing. We're attracted to that. You know what I'm saying? And even if we don't know you and we just see you in public or whatever, it's like an energy type of thing. We could tell that, hey, you look, and we could be totally wrong, but it's a guess. It's a hypothesis. You know what I'm saying? So we just saying, man, she look like she worked. She get her shit done. Let's give this a chance. We like that. So I hope that helped. I hope that helped with that second question. That was fire. But hey, remember, the sense of humor is everything. You gotta have a sense of humor in today's world.
The third question is, when you pass on from this life, finish these statements.
She's getting deep.
In hopes of what you believe would be said about you. Yeah, I gotta hit you with a serious one.
Yeah, okay. You did.
First one is going to be something your kids say. And this is the statement. This is your kid saying this, okay? One thing I'd say about my dad is that he made the most of his days with us by blank. What goes in the blank? All right? That's the kids. This is a 3-in-1, okay? The next statement is from your wife. Baylor taught me so much, and to have a friend and a husband like that made me blank. What is Marcy gonna say about you? What's in that blank, Baylor? Okay. And the third one is us, okay? Your friends. If we started our statement with, man, Baylor was blank to me, to us, what goes in that blank? And I think this is something everybody should think about, because it's going to help you be more intentional about the time you give your people that you say is your people. Okay? Yeah, that's my third question.
That third one.
And I got some more.
Yeah, that third one is solid. What my kids would say, I was strict and fun at the same time. You know, raising kids in this world, which I can imagine my parents raising me when they were alive in the 90s, they probably felt the same way or a little bit different, you know, that they raising me in a crazy world. Now you fast forward, I'm raising kids and, you know, in this time. But, you know, we've had fun. Nerf gun wars. I'm taking my daughter swimming right now. We've taken them, you know, out of the country. We've flown them to different cities inside the country. We participate. We are a part of their activities. And I say we, cause we can't do this alone, even though that I'm the one that's going to be gone. You know, it's still a partnership. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes one person picks up the load and sometimes the other person picks up the load. And then there's times where we just Kobe and Shaq in the playoffs, in the finals. You know what I mean? It's just crazy numbers on both sides. So, yeah, I was relatable. You know, I was the one who didn't necessarily care for what a lot of the youngsters was into, but I did participate in some of the young stuff because I remember what it was being a kid, and it's some stuff that they created or even brought back or changed up, and I'm like, oh no, I want to be a part of this. Like, I think even though the background of TikTok was to educate kids in a fun way, things of that nature, it has turned into a whole complete entertainment conglomerate. And of course, you're going to have its other side, and then you're going to have the positive and entertainment side. And I think it's dope that they have a platform to where they could showcase their talent and be seen across the world. And it's like, it's dope to be a part of that, especially being the generation that's seen the internet grow from the very beginning, and then seeing how these kids are able to monetize off of something that I've seen from the early stages, you know. So that's what it is. I think they'll tell you that I was a fun parent. I was definitely a fun parent, but I was also had my strict conservative ways and when it comes to certain things. But for the most part, I could be extremely left and just fun at the same time. What Marcy would say, I taught her, well, I'm currently teaching her how to be cold towards the fire. And what that mean is I watched Marcy, look at her life and point out how dysfunctional her family is. And she peeped the generational curse, and she said she's actively working on eliminating that and breaking that. And I watched her growth and her journey, and even watched her through her struggles and, you know, her down times, etc. But one of my traits, I'm not sure if we could completely put it on just who I am as a person. And if you want to narrow that down to me just being a Capricorn, that's cool. But my trait of just being cold-hearted towards certain people or certain situations, I've tried to rub off on her, because I said it's better on this side of the on this side of the fence. You know, when you get to the point where shit just don't, not that it just doesn't bother you, but it doesn't hit your radar. And now something that used to get on your nerves, it no longer bothers you in that same way. And I'm trying to get her there and currently trying to work against her. My method and strategy of teaching her how to deal with her anxiety is watching scary movies. Knowing that the music, the sound effects, and things of that nature is what is really driving her nerves. And I'm like, in the suspense, I'm trying to have her work through all that by watching suspense and what's the other word? Thrillers and suspense type movies. You know what I mean? To where it's so much to where her anxiety is crawling through her skin, and I'm like, no, sit here. I'm trying to get her to watch The Black Phone, Drake. I've been trying to get her to watch The Black Phone for the past couple of years, bro. And she been dodging that motherfucker well. And she's done well, though. She didn't watch a couple of scary movies with me since then. A couple of movies that was thrillers and suspense and stuff like that. But the ones that I really want her to watch, she's been ducking them like crazy. She's been ducking, but she's going to get there. And again, y'all might be like, well, that's kind of crazy. That method of madness is kind of crazy. But yes, I truly believe I can help her out with that through that method. So there's that, but I'm currently teaching her to be like, fuck it. That's fuck it 101. Number three, what everybody else? You know, hopefully everybody else, by the time I'm gone, realize that I was just a creator-friendly guy. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. No tough guy, no gangster, none of that shit. I'm not putting on a facade. Like the person that you may have done a show with, a person that you may have just listened to, or a person that you may just talk on a phone with, I'm the same person. You know, maybe the one side you don't see much of is when I'm just my antisocial side, which I'm not sure why anybody want to experience that side, because I'm not going to talk to you. You know what I'm saying? But it's moments, and I think everybody has this. You could just in a mode where you just don't feel like talking to nobody. Nobody did anything to you. The person that you avoid didn't do anything to you. You just, nigga, just woke up one morning and just said, no, I don't want to feel like talking. I don't feel like talking. But obviously you don't see that side, because I don't see what the purpose of to promote that would be. So, yeah, you wouldn't see that side. But I can imagine that people will want to, when they eventually meet the person, the voice, the character that they hear on my show or anybody else's show or their show, and it's the truth. You know, anybody that has come out here, whether it was a visit or they moved or something like that, they moved out here and I met up with them, they no switch up. Don't have to. Authentic. I know who I am, been this way since 82. You know, my personality is my personality. And I think people eventually, if they stick around or if they're in the circle or group or whatever the case may be, I think they end up finding that out. And when I'm long gone and away, probably reincarnated into a dragon or some shit like that, then they'll probably say, oh, yeah, yeah, he was dope. He was cool, funny, friendly, and creative. You know, at the end of the day, I think that's all I got. That's, yeah, sure. Let's see what we got.
My fourth question is also a fill in the blank. Okay. It's multiple fill in the blanks, by the way. Number four, the best restaurant I've eaten at this year is blank. What's the best motherfucking restaurant you eaten at this year, Baylor? Because I need to know if I need to go. Okay. Next one. The dumbest pod statement I've heard recently was blank. Because we need to know. And the people need to know that they asking dumb shit. Or saying dumb shit. Okay. Mm-hmm. Next. If you ain't from LA, don't bring your ass to blank to see what's happening. What is that place that people don't need to be? Okay. Mm. And I got a fifth one coming up.
So for the first question, the best restaurant I've been to this year, it was actually in Ghana. Right. And it was on the corner of the hotel that we were staying in. And we started to go there. There was another restaurant around the corner. And then there was one that we went to prior to going to the Gentleman's Club out there. Now, I did not do my due diligence to go look up the names of these places. They are all three are in Ghana. And honestly, I don't even know if I have taken a picture of all of them or even one of them. I don't remember. Anyhow, the one that was on the corner from us, right? They had, just like earlier, what she was saying about the regular sandwiches and stuff like that. Like, I have pictures of the food that we had. And this place made a turkey and cheese sandwich, but it wasn't. This was my first time having my tomatoes, pickles, onions. Like, I had the works on a sandwich, but they chopped it up though. That's what threw me for a loop. Like, I had a regular turkey sandwich, but it was a regular turkey sandwich, but they chopped up everything. It was delightful. It was just the veggies though. I think one of them was chopped up was the meat as well, the meat and the cheese as well. But I can honestly tell you, I don't think I've ever had a turkey sandwich like that. I don't think so. I don't think so. And it was good. And they also had the the Dubai chocolate out there. My wife and my daughter is huge fans of the Dubai chocolate. It also had, I forgot. Yeah, it was just chopped up. It was the chopped up tomatoes, the chopped up pickles. It was delightful. I took a picture of it. Shan, I could also share that picture if you want me to. I also ordered the Oreo waffle. They had an Oreo waffle, a crunch waffle, a lotus waffle. Nigga, what? The lotus waffle come with a sorbet. It's a sorbet waffle, lotus biscuit, ice cream, vanilla, two types of special chocolate, sweet and white. Nigga, what? Nigga, what? The crunch waffle. Hey, look. This is what the crunch waffle is. Special pieces of biscuit, ice cream vanilla with two types of special chocolates. Another one, right? And then obviously the Oreo waffle that come with the Oreo. I didn't even get to finish that. That was bananas, though. I mean, it, and then my wife got the Dubai chocolate. That was fire. At the third one, the third restaurant joint, I didn't get any food because I was full already, but I did get a dessert. Nigga, they had this Oreo. They had this big ass, I got a picture of that too. They had this big ass Oreo ice cream sandwich, right? Vanilla ice cream in the middle, thick ass Oreo cookie on the top and the bottom, and like a blackberry sauce that was on it. Like, I'll send that picture to the group. I'm all these pictures that I'm talking about, Shan, I'm sending to the group chat or whatever. That fire. We gonna play this clip. You can post it, but everything that I'm telling you is exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly. I'm sending it to the group chat right now. So you can show the people. Let them know I ain't lying. So that's for the restaurants in Ghana. Ghana has some great, it has some great food out there. Some great food out there. I'm not going to even lie to you. Some great food out there. And then if you really want me to get the names to those places, I will. I'll let you know. I'll get the names to those places. The next one was the dumbest podcast statement that I've heard this year. And it actually comes from our guy Smash. Let's listen to this.
I've been in scenarios with my people where I'm chilling with the homies, and all of a sudden, his girl come out the room and she talking about she horny, and they start fucking in front of me. Like, oh yeah, I've seen that shit.
So here's the situation. I don't know why I gotta tell people this, right? If you start fucking in front of me, that's an invitation. I will pull my dick out and put it in her mouth. I'm telling you now.
See, and then this is where we're at as a society. You heard what my mans just said. I don't know my mans. I know Smash. Smash had him on the show. My nigga said, and I get it, because it's wild if somebody, a couple just come out and they just start having sex. That's one thing. That's one crazy Netflix movie. But to say you feel that if he does that, if they do that, then that automatically gives you an invitation without consent. Let me tell you something, brother. That right there is what Shan just asked me. She said, what's the dumbest podcast statement? That's got to be number one for the year. That might go, I don't even think I have any. I know a couple of other ones, but nothing compares to this one. Brother, true and believe, I would never do that. Me and my wife would never do that. And trust me, this clip goes on. This goes on to some other stuff, right? Matter of fact,
I don't care if that's your wife or not. Don't fuck in front of me if you don't want me fucking too. You laughing, but I'm dead serious. Like, that's an invitation. Cause,
hey, listen,
I'm not fucking my wife in front of nobody.
I get that. But if I did do that, I promise you, you're not around me. I promise you not doing that. Now, again, that's something out of the ordinary. But even that's outside of the, being outside of the ordinary, nigga, leave. The first thing that pops in your head is, oh, let me just whip my shit up then. Nah, that's giving off the wrong signal. That's giving off Drewski skits. That's what that's giving off. Yeah, we could talk about it. We could talk about it. But that right there, as of right now, and it's only April, that's the top one. If you wanted to know, Shan, that's the top one right there. That's the top one. But go get that I'll explain all this later podcast with Smash. He be having some dope relationship advice and opinions and experiences that he shares on his podcast. Do I agree? No. Yes. Hell no. Maybe. So go check it out. Next question. What was it? If you're not from L.A., don't come to L.A. trying to do anything. Just, I used to be the person that said, hey, man, I go to another city. You know, we're going to the popular cities at this point, the New York, the Chicago's and shit like that. If you go to some of these places and you're like, man, the number one thing that people want to do as visitors is go to the popular spots that they've seen, especially niggas that grew up in the 90s. We want to go to all the popular spots that they was talking about, where they either from or they went, you know what I'm saying? And what we consider landmarks and stuff, it's not worth it. You know, and if you do go, just go looking regular as possible. That's all. That's all. Like, when you come to L.A., we could tell if you from somewhere else. Not, we don't know exactly where you from, but you act like it. Yeah, your head is up. You're looking lost. You know what I'm saying? You're staring at something for a long amount of time. A lot of shit that y'all might find fascinating or dope and stuff like that, especially because of where California is at. And just, you know, the whole landmark and how we, our politics and shit like that, is going to look different or whatever. So it's going to be fascinating to you, because just like I can go to another place, been to Hawaii, Jamaica, Ghana, and you just fascinated with how they waited, the way they live, the way they orchestrate, the way they talk, etc. I'm the same way. I'm the same way. Just don't look too goofy looking like it. Or don't try to do too much to get to those places. You know what I'm saying? And no, you do not have to go to this part of the hood and that part of the hood. It's like, it's not like when you get there, the same niggas that you've seen on YouTube is going to be outside waiting on you to say, hey, man, come over here, take a picture so you can go viral. No, it probably can be completely empty over there. By the time you get there, them niggas are probably outside. I mean, them niggas probably gone outside somewhere, at work, in jail, or dead somewhere. You know what I mean? So just don't do too much. Just don't do too much. You know, if you are part of, or you, if you one of them street niggas that's from your city and hood and stuff like that, and you come out here, just understand the politics so you don't get caught up in it. You know, if you just coming out here and you're on a vacation, just go to the vacation spots. Don't be so damn curious on what you want to see in Compton or in Watts. You know, stay over there in Marina Del Rey or Pasadena or El Segundo. Like, stay over there. You know, you don't have to, you ain't got to do that. You know, yeah, you should be able to do what you want to do. Just know how to go about doing it. I should say it like that. Like me, I wanted to go to Rupp Arena and go watch Kentucky play. I don't like Kentucky, but I respect the history of their basketball. But I understand why a lot of people don't like the University of Kentucky. Kentucky is because of the energy over there. It's a lot of segregation energy. A lot of segregation energy over there. And me having an ego is like, you know, it's a stupid reason to want to go. You know, outside of just wanting to go watch some, watch a historic basketball program play against another one, you know, but people come to L.A., you know, Super Bowl's hosted out here, the fucking Olympics will be out here in a couple of years, it's going to be total chaos and mayhem, you know what I mean? So it's like, just pay attention and understand where you're at, you know, don't do too much, you know? Just don't do too much. That's my advice to you. You can get your shit together and everything will be all right. Great question so far. Shan over here killing it.
All right. Number five. My scariest high so far was when blank. And that's why I do blank from now on. Fill in the goddamn blank, Baylor. What in your life of highness, of greenery, was your scariest high? When was it? What happened? And what about it makes you more aware and set boundaries for yourself from that day forward? I want to know what the fuck happened.
I was never a fan of the smoking version. I never was. You know, I grew up in a house where my mom smoked. She tried to hide it from us because she didn't smoke all the time, but she smoked enough. Now I understand. I totally understand, black woman. My older brother used to smoke weed all the time. I had no interest in it early because I was an athlete. And what was told to us back then that, you know, marijuana, weed or whatever slowed you down, which would affect your game and stuff like that. It's just anything that any substance that you took outside of sports substance was considered taboo. Or, you know what I'm saying, it was looked down upon. Even though niggas in the 70s and the 80s were sniffing some of the purest boogie sugar you could find, and niggas was getting 15 rebounds per second. Nigga, like, this shit was crazy. But I never liked the smoking version. You know what I'm saying? And so when edibles became a thing, it still took me a cool minute to get into, but you also, it's a learning curve that you got to go through. And I had two scary moments in my life. One was, I remember I was going into work that night, but earlier that day, you know, had a couple of puffs or whatever. But I also had took some edibles, and they must have been some bad edibles, and which didn't kick in until like real late. And it was bad. Like it was so bad to the point where I had got high one time and I saw my body move so many times. Like I had to focus on sitting down. I had to focus on moving. Every time I moved my arm, I seen a million of them. My fingers, you know what I'm saying? I stood up. When I stood up, it's like I stood up a million times. I went in the bathroom, put some water on my face, and it kind of cleared it up for me for like maybe a couple of minutes. I was cool, you know what I'm saying? Then after that, the shit just kicked right back in. It was like, my nigga, I was out of there. I went further beyond the hemisphere. Like I went beyond the Milky Way. It's like I was talking to the Lord, and his voice kept getting shallower and lower because I had floated past him. You know what I mean? And shit is, like I said, shit is just is moving everywhere. Like I have to focus on what I'm doing. I laid back on the couch and I said, and I just closed my eyes. And I said, this shit got to go away. This shit ain't no good. And this shit, I knew it was a bad batch because I ended up throwing up. And I was so fatigued. Like, the hangover was crazy. And it's not like an alcohol hangover because I've had a few. I've had about three, maybe four alcohol hangovers in my life. Real bad. One of the main reasons why I don't drink the type of liquors that you niggas still drink on, right? I took my ass to wine so quick. I don't drink that bullshit no more. But an alcohol hangover compared to an edible hangover is two different things, I say. Two different things. And I was just super fatigued. I was tired. It felt like I hadn't slept in days. It was real bad. Like I was just very lethargic. Very, very. And from then I said, stop being cheap. Stop buying these $10 bags. You know what I'm saying? And it's $10 to get you 1,000 milligrams. It's like you gotta do the math on that. You know, shout out to her. She know who she is. I don't want to dime her out, but she was also making shit out of her house, and I'm being the crash dummy, the taste tester, and stuff like that. Nigga sent me a cookie and a couple of homemade Starbursts, and I said, how much? In the Starburst, I knew how much, you know, and that shit was potent. That Starburst was, it was potent. But that cookie, my nigga, it was the regular size. I haven't had one in a long time, but I do remember the size of a Chip Ahoy cookie, right? It's the same size as that. Cookie phenomenal. I went to the store, got me some ice cream. I got the half-baked one. So the half-baked one is like a brownie, have cookies in there, fudge. It's real filthy. It's Big Back Academy. I put the cookie in there, and I crunched it up. I'm on some Snake at Night Demon Time shit, right? Like, I'm really about to just... This is some filthy ice cream I'm about to eat and binge watch some of the best shit that came out in the 90s, right? She never told me the milligrams in the cookie. She did not have to tell me how much milligrams in the cookie because I knew it had to be more than 50. And the reason why I can gauge that is because I've had a 50 milligram, what is that? It's kind of like a Tootsie Roll. It was like a Tootsie Roll candy, and it was like It was 50 milligrams. And pause. I used to... I've had the 50 milligram Tootsie Roll thingamajig, and it was a smooth coast of 50 milligrams. You could feel the impact. 50 is up there, my nigga. 50 milligrams are how you walking on your tippy toes, thinking you about to float away, which I have. Shout out to the Rock Hill Lounge or something like that, somewhere over here in the IE, nigga. I'll tell you that story too. But anyhow, she never told me how much was in the actual cookie, but it felt like it was 50 or 60 plus milligrams. I was high as a kite, dog. Eyes bloodshot red. I'm hearing the person in the back listening to them make the music, nigga. My senses was on cloud fucking 19. I could hear everything. I heard ants whispering in the corner. I was gone, bro. I was gone to the point where, you know, when you get too high, you lay down and you just kind of like, damn, I think I fucked up. Because, you know, when it comes to the edibles, nigga, you are on that roller coaster. You're strapped in. Don't worry. You don't worry about this machine malfunctioning or anything like that. Just know that you're about to be on the, you know how quick a roller coaster ride is? Some roller coaster rides last about 9 seconds, 8 seconds or some shit like that. It don't even be that long. But it feels that long because the adrenaline is running. You're going through loops and turns and dips and hanging and twirling upside down and shit like that. Just imagine that, and you do it again, and you keep doing it, and there's no break in between. You got to go through that ride, Bucko. You got to go through that ride. I've been there a couple of times, because the other time was, you know, we was waiting for my son to get out of Saturday school. And he was in Saturday school from 8 to 12. And after that, we was going to, I forgot what place is in California. I forgot what the city is called. Calmex. I think it's called like Calmex or something like that. But it's close to Mexico. And we was doing like this lantern light shit, balloon, air balloon, float shit, right? Real beautiful when it's like pitch dark and it's in the middle of the desert. It looked like some cult shit. But they did have food and all that. And you know, we bought chairs and blankets and stuff like that. Some real family intimate shit, ayahuasca type shit, minus ayahuasca, right? And nigga, I came home in the morning, I said, and this one I was first learning how to microdose, you know what I mean? But not the edibles. I wanted to go get some shit called wedding cake or a pre-roll. And I smoked a whole pre-roll by myself in the garage. Maybe a second or two after me standing up and going in the house, everything said wham. Whatever that sound sounds like moving, like if put that wham as an action, that's what happened. Shit just started shaking or whatever. And I went to go lay down. We was joking about something and I laughed so hard I started crying. Then that put Marcy in a panic to where, not a panic, like she was actually laughing low key. Nigga, there was one point where she said, I will lay down and take a nap. She said, you just need to sleep it off. Eat, drink some water and sleep it off. And she said it got to the point where I would lay down for about a minute or two and I'd get up and I would say, all right, I'm done taking a nap. To me, it felt like I took like a 2-hour nap. There was one point where she walked downstairs and I'm laying down on a bed looking through the door frame, and because that's where our stairs was at, and I'm waiting for her to come up. Hey, can y'all stop fighting? I hate when my dogs fight. Anyhow, well, hold on. Goddamn dogs. Motherfuckers, as soon as they hear somebody at the door, somebody. Oh, God. Mocha means well. Like, she's our best protective security front line in the house. Like, I think she see ghosts and all kind of shit and be trying to report it. But my nigga, shut up. Shit. Goddamn. Oh, shit. Where was I at with it? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah. At one point, nigga, I just kept thinking she was coming upstairs. Like, she just kept walking up the stairs. I could hear her walking, but she just never made it up there. Never made it up there. Yeah, I was high as a kite. And I had to drive there and back. And nigga, you know how the amount of focus that I had to do? God damn. I forgot the third story I was going to tell you, but I do remember one night I seen some coyotes and I was listening to some music. My high, I started dancing in front of them. I won't do that again. They was far enough to where if they would have tried to run up on me, I would have just ran back in the house. But my dumb ass did, I did that. And those are my high stories, Shan. I got, the moral of the story is, please, if you are just now getting into them, or if you haven't done them in a while, understand that all edibles are not made equally. So this 50 milligrams might be more potent than this 50. You know what I mean? So you got to be careful. Microdose. They have liquids. They got candy. They got soup. They got chips. You got to know what you're doing and how to do it. When you do edibles, you got to time it and stuff. That's the very important thing. The most important thing is understanding the timing of these edibles, especially when you want to experience whatever you're experiencing, whether you're going to the movies, to a concert, you know, going out with the fellas or with the ladies, and you wanted to hit at certain moments. It's all a timing thing. That's the benefit of smoking, is that you get to control your high and stuff like that, whereas the edible is more of a buckle up. You're going on this ride regardless. As soon as this thing digests, like, it's over, you know, and that usually take anywhere between, I've seen some early as 30 minutes. The average is about 45 to an hour. And then there's been some that didn't kick in to like maybe an hour or two later, you know. So you just get to be mindful of that and do not drive under the influence. That is not cool at all. Not cool. Let's see what else we got.
Number six for my final question is, if you had to be a character on Doug, who would you be and why? And what color would you be? Don't be racist. And
that's a long ass pause, nigga. Hello?
If you didn't want to be a character that was already on Doug, that was a long ass pause.
It was.
If you didn't want to be a character that was on Doug, what would your character look like if you had to make a new character on Doug, and what would his personality be like? And I thank you for giving me space to help you do an episode with my six questions. I'm bowing out. Bye.
Thank you, Shan. And this is the main reason why the episode is called Sixers, is because Shan is from Philly, if I'm not mistaken. So Sixers, six questions, six, you know, Philly. Doug, she knows Doug is one of my favorite cartoons of all time, and she did not have that on the list. We still knuckle and buckling over that. It's whatever. But she knows that, you know, this is one of my favorite cartoons. And yes, I would love to be a part of that, and I would probably be an athlete. I have no problem with being either like the smooth athlete or the dumb jock. One or the other is either going to bring comedic relief or is going to be the person that gives advice all the time. One of the two. And I would be like a, maybe like a purple, because I'm going to be black. Because if I had to pick a character already, you know I'm picking Skeeter. You know I'm picking him, not Roger, because Roger was definitely, he definitely gave Trailer Park Trash vibes. Right. And his homies was fake, too. Doug will always be a number one option for a lot of cats, because he the one that went to Doug is, to me, let me tell you who Doug is. Doug is Drake before he started his music career. That's who Doug is. We was all Doug at one point. Well, not all of us. Some people, we had Doug-like moments. But we didn't grow up like Doug, though. I think Doug, because to me, Doug and Dawson Creek is kind of similar. So Doug, Dawson Creek, and Drake. Damn. Doug, Dawson, Drake. Triple D. Yes, all those have some similarities to me. But if I had to be anybody in there, it'd be Skeeter. But if I had to make up my own character, it would be an athlete. It'd be a basketball player or a football player. Probably, you know, just to keep it, knowing how it was back then, nigga name probably be like Zach. Zach was popular because Saved by the Bell. But, you know, Zach or Brett or some shit like that, just that's a whole 90s Doug. That's a Doug-type name. You know, them niggas had basic... Them niggas had basic names and shit like that. So I will go with that one. I will go with that one. You know, and to extend your question, let's just keep that shit rolling. Like, I would definitely love a character in the Looney Tunes, you know? And if I had to be a character already, that's a tough one right there. Because I want to go with Pepe Le Pew, but he too horny for me. He too horny. But he was smooth. He was just too horny. And he was on the right, like, he had the right type of vibes. Like, he was smooth or whatever. He thought he had on fire cologne, but it wasn't. And I would want to change that. The nigga thought he was Suave. The nigga thought he was Players Club. The nigga thought he was Bill Bellamy. And he was too aggressive. Like, he was too horny for those kisses. Way too horny for those kisses and hugs. He used to, he probably is a Me Too, what you call it. Him, I think the popular one will always be Bugs Bunny because they thought he was very wise. Well, he had his moments. You know how every so often they would have cartoons where Bugs Bunny just getting fucked up? You know what I'm saying? Like, he had a couple of those episodes, but very witty, you know, fan favorite, you know, like him and Mickey, those were fan favorites. Like, to me, Mickey and Bugs Bunny, they were like Prince and Mike, you know what I'm saying? Number one outright in their own lane. So that's how I look at that. But, you know, Looney Tunes, they had a lot of... And I would like to be a part of the Animaniacs. It was popping. The Animaniacs is probably like the 2000s hip-hop era. You know, they had a lot of shit going on over there as well, Animaniacs. That was fire. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I gotta be another turtle. I have to be another turtle. The only thing is, I don't know what color my headband. I'll probably go with gray. Cause you gotta think about it. You gotta have something. Everything else is bright. You got purple, you got orange, you got blue, you got red. You gotta give me that silver one or a yellow one. You know what I'm saying? You gotta do some type of, but they had April. She had the yellow jumpsuit. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I'll probably do like a yellow, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to the Lakers. I do the yellow one, you know? If not the yellow, then I do gray. Maybe a powder blue, you know what I'm saying? A powder blue. And then you get a female Ninja Turtle, get her the pink one. That's fire. So shout out to Shan. Appreciate these questions. It's only right that I return them. Again, I sent the group chat. Y'all have already responded with the picture. Somebody said, I'm assuming that's Shan, but I think I seen Drake respond last, so Drake probably said, So, yeah. Shout out. I appreciate these questions. We must do this again. And anybody else that's listening, go ahead, remix this. 12K, I know you seeing these questions. I'm like, well, damn. I know it's on the way. It's only right.